Blog Talk Radio.
Nigga, you know what time it is, man. MySpace, man. MySpace.com/ DJ Absolute One.
So you know how it goes.
Noise.
MOBB. Regulating that soul. The tonal banger. Leave the jug van.
Recognize.
Realize. You was bent, but you remember it's the infamous. Never took our shoes up when we entered staff, gas, sports.
Yeah. What's going on? Hey, yo, this is STC, the Smack Talk Center from the UK to the US, worldwide. Hey, yo, I be your host, the infamous informer, a.k.a. Wolverhampton's last outlaw, a.k.a. Grant Body. Hey, yo, we're going to cook different this week. Once again, hey, yo, this show right here, we call it the gift and the curse. What do I mean by that? I mean wrestlers out there that we believe are underrated. There are many of them, but we're going to discuss a select few right here. With me at this time is my guest, the genius, Marion Toda, number one Romanian cat out there. What's going on, sir?
What's up, man? Everything's fine. I cannot wait, you know, to talk about the underrated wrestlers. There are so many, and it will take me like days to get all of them and discuss them, but yeah, too bad we don't have time for that.
Yeah, word up, man, it's true. There's so many, it's unreal. We could talk for weeks about underrated wrestlers and everything. So it's like, why? There's only so much we can talk about right now. But yo, this is how it goes down. We're gonna find out who you picked out, who you believe.
Yeah, okay.
Your underrated wrestlers who you believe should have made it.
Okay. There are so many, like I said, but I will start with Daniel Bryan. I really like the guy since he was in ROH and in NXT thing, you know, he was the, well, not even the worst, but he was the first eliminated and he did not get even a victory on NXT, you know, but that if you do the comparison, you know, so he lost everything on NXT. But now if you take all the Nexus members, you know, more than half are jobber. Justin Gabriel, his Slater, you know, Wade Barrett is not, I don't know what. Okay, he's Intercontinental Champion, but he's not the best Intercontinental Champion, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Hold up. I mean, all right then, Daniel Bryan, he's come from the Next, yeah? That's what you're saying, yeah?
Actually, from ROH, then from MCW, but yeah, let's say from NXT.
Okay, right. Now, it's funny, you mentioned Daniel Bryan, you mentioned Justin Gabriel, and you mentioned Wade Barrett, because Daniel Bryan has already made it as the World Heavyweight Champion once already.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, out of that lot, Wade Barrett, in my opinion, was meant to be the one to hit that.
Yeah, but
he hit that microphone as the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, the Nexus leader and NXT Season 1 winner and whatnot, you know. But actually, Daniel Bryan did it, so he was the first eliminated. That's what I wanted to say, you know. So he was the first eliminated, and from all of them, in my opinion, he's now the best. He went, you know, he get the jackpot from all of them, you know. I don't know, Bryan and Barrett, you know, but in my opinion, we see Bryan more often. You know, I mean, we also see Wade Barrett, but, you know, he doesn't get that much reaction. Well, Bryan gets reaction with yes and no chance, and, you know, fans like them because he's entertaining and whatnot. But, you know, I don't like the thing that WWE, you know, does what he does to him. I'm not saying Team Hell No was not a good team. They are still a good team. But they do nothing else, you know, rather than just doing the same things like they do for months. I mean, in September, October, and November, it was fun, you know, but now it's not that fun anymore. You get sick of that, you know. Maybe not even sick because my opinion is an entertaining team, but...
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? I mean, obviously, it's come to that point now where... They're going to eventually drop the titles to the Shield anyway. It appears that way anyway. I mean, it's going to be funny how they're going to run it, because there's three members at the Shield, and the only two of them can hold the tag team title. So it's going to interest me how that's going to play out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, and hopefully, yeah, they'll go their separate ways or do whatever they're going to do. If one's going to turn heel, then so be it. And I mean, out of the two, I'd rather Ricky Kane to turn heel, simply because he can bring out that monster stars back out of him. I mean, you could have Kane a monster as a face.
Yeah, but it's not that Kane what he was in 2002, 2003, you know, the real big red monster, you know, he's just a PG monster. And, yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing with the PG. I'm just saying Kane is ridiculous. I mean, he's not good for his gimmick.
But you know what? I think Kane, Glenn Jacobs in real life, I think he's a bit of a prankster anyway. I think he does like to have a laugh. I think, you know what I mean, with Kane, he doesn't mind being that comedian.
That's my
personal opinion of Kane, Glenn Jacobs. You see what I'm saying? He don't mind that. But I know if it was, personally, I know if it was me, I'd want to be that monster all day. Face or heel, I want to be that monster all day. I'm not down with the comedy business. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a funny dude when I'm ready. I give myself credit for that, man. But it's like, yo, when it comes to character and all that.
Yeah, that's what...
is that dude, to me, Kane is that dude that, you know what I mean? He broke in, he had a mask on, his face is supposed to be burned, he don't say nothing, but he will choke slam people, he will tombstone people, and he will set people on fire and think it's funny. That's the Kane I like. I'm not down with the comedian Kane at all, man.
He's not in his character, you know. What I'm saying is, Kane is also a great wrestler. I like the dude. I always like him, you know, how he wrestles. And, but now let's get back to Daniel Bryan. And I like the thing that, you know, about his look, you know, he looks so good. I mean, not beautiful, not in a gay sense or something.
it's a support Mike Knox. No broke back, but carry on.
But he's with that bird and that long hair, like, he's Jesus Christ, God forgive me, but. Yeah, I'm semi-atheist and, whatever. But what I'm saying is, you know, the look is not good. You know, wrestling in a static sport, you know, they don't wrestle in shirts. They wrestle naked, you know, and your body and your look is very soft. It's very important, you know. So, Daniel Bryan looks actually really ridiculous. So they should do something with his look. Disband the team here, no, even though they are a good team. And give Bryan maybe not a... You know, but I was expecting that, actually. I don't want to, you know, seem very genius how I actually am, or something, but I was expecting Bryan to happen what it happened to him after losing the World Heavyweight title. So, unfortunately, this happened. After he won the World title, he went in the undercard, and, it's a shame.
But don't worry. Don't worry, I'm sure when Team Hell No eventually disband, I'm sure they'll be back in it, both of them. I definitely want to see Kane and Daniel Bryan definitely competing for that World Heavyweight title again, if not the WWE title once again. I mean, we've seen Wade Barrett now. Wade Barrett, he's that Intercontinental Champion dude, yeah?
Yep.
Right, now we've seen him when he was like a leader, he was a top man in Nexus. Mm-hmm. And, he was like, at one point, he was the top heel of the company. Believe it or not. Remember that kid? When he was ordering John Cena about and all sorts. John Cena had to obey every command, or otherwise, that's it. Remember that kid?
Yeah, I remember.
Now, Ray Barry did an excellent job. So much that I hated him. You know what I mean? I've still got bitter feelings towards Ray Barry now. Because he buried The Undertaker alive in 2010. And up to this present day, he has got away with it. I can't believe that shit. But apart from that, Wade Barrett did a superb job as a top heel of the company at that time in 2010. And I think Wade Barrett can do it again. Without no doubt. So it won't be long before Wade Barrett's been pushed up to that level.
Yeah. Both Bryan and Barrett deserve. So I don't know.
And the other guy you want to watch out for is that Antonio Cesaro as well.
Yeah.
Number one. He's another one, you know what I mean? Man got skills upon skills. They've been trying him out with the top guys to see how he can hold up in the ring. And he's done more than enough. Antonio Cesaro, it's not long before he's ready to be on the big stage.
Yeah, Cesaro is my next wrestler I wanted to talk about.
Oh, that's good then.
let's end with Brian. So in my opinion, like I say, they should break up Hell No without any, you know, without any doubt. In my opinion, they should break up and both Kane and Brian to go on their own ways. And, you know, and put Brian on the, you know, on the main card, you know, not in the undercard. And,
absolutely.
Even eventually getting, maybe not even winning the world title, but at least to put him around the title, you know, so he faced Dolph Ziggler, and then at their WrestleMania Revenge Tour, they have a match for the world title, but of course Ziggler won. But it's important because Brian had a match for the title, so that's what I'm saying, you know, maybe, I still hope Brian will be the one that he was back in his good days.
Well, Daniel Bryan, he seems to have took that role of Chris Benoit, hasn't he?
Yeah, kind of.
And what I mean by that is, you look at his two main signature moves, his yes luck or the no luck, or I don't know what the hell it is luck, that's like a crippler crossface variation. And then you've got his top rope maneuver, where it's like a headbutt off the top ropes, and Chris Benoit did both of those moves.
Yeah.
So he is like the modern day Chris Benoit right now.
Yeah.
Let's just hope he doesn't do anything drastic, and you know what I mean by that.
Yeah. Many people compare him to Benoit. You know, I haven't seen a lot of Benoit. I've seen some matches of his, and yeah, people are right. You know, but I don't know. People give so much crap about Benoit because he did what he did. So they put WWE on fire by saying their name and whatnot, you know, so they make WWE angry by comparing Brian with Benoit, you know, but they are kind of right, so they kind of...
Yeah, man, but, you know what I mean?
...in style and, yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, what we're talking wrestling skills here, I'm not talking about their personal life, because, I mean, we knew what Benoit was doing in his personal life, and that's what Daniel Bryan, we know what he's doing in his personal life, you know what I mean, he's banging Brie Bella on the regular. Hey, well done. Go on, Daniel Bryan. That's the way to do it. Twist that back out.
That's
supreme. Yes. You know what I mean? You know that's where the phrase comes from.
Oh, that was an ugly one.
I mean, come on, man. I know. Tell the true genius. If you were going to sex with Brie Bella, wouldn't you be going, yes?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I wouldn't kill her. Maybe my kids, but not Bella. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, big ups to Daniel Bryan, though, man. He brought the Bella Twins back in some capacity. I know him and John Cena said something. You know what I mean? Maybe the promise means that the Bellas can jump on his dick for a hot second. I don't know, but...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that was pretty much it with Bryan. Another wrestler, the second wrestler we are going to talk about is Antonio Cesaro or Claudio Castagnoli from ROH. Before he entered in WWE, like 4 or 5 years ago, he tried to enter the WWE, you know, so they signed the contract, but, you know, it didn't work really well. Then he returned back to Indies and ROH, and now he's finally here on WWE on the top, you know, it cannot be higher than this, so WWE is the best place to be, the best company, and yeah, whatnot. But about Antonio Cesaro, Cesaro is a great wrestler. Too bad that WWE doesn't use him well. So it's a really big shame. Not the guy's biggest fan or something, but I respect him because he does a great job. He really pays the crap for, you know, so, and doing that, that neutralizer on Brodus Clay, on Great Khali, my God. So,
I mean, that neutralizer move, I'm not a fan of it, man.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's impressive on a wrestling sense, but on a personal standpoint, yo, I don't want the next man grabbing my things and slamming me to the ground like that. That move does not look right at all.
that's the risk of being a wrestler.
Well, mind you, saying that, I mean, do you look at a lot? There's a lot of wrestling movies on there. You know what I mean? That don't look right. Even my own hero, The Undertaker. You know what I mean? My favorite wrestler of all time, The Undertaker. Look at his move, the Tombstone. I mean, that doesn't look right, really.
Of course, yeah, you can see by far he's dropping the knees on the floor, and just then after his knees are down, then the opponent's head. So it's not very painful for the opponent at all. You can check people.
It is what it is, man. Look back, Antonio Cesaro. Well, we're not a fan of the neutralizer.
We were talking about the neutralizer and that uppercut, that flying uppercut. My God, that is tremendous. Very good maneuver. And,
oh, the uppercut.
Yeah, from the air.
That's the uppercut I call the sure you can. You know what I mean? That's what it's called, man. I don't know why they don't call it that on WWE. If I say, sure you can, like 3/4 of the planet Earth know what I'm talking about. It is fun, man. Wicked piece of move, man. We've seen European uppercuts in our time, but never like that.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so, I don't know. So his moveset is pretty okay, pretty decent. Not the best, but it's okay, you know, for WWE, it's just okay, you know. Not being at WrestleMania.
That was disrespectful.
It's not about Cesaro not being at WrestleMania. It's about the United States, one of the titles to be defended at every damn pay-per-view, every damn title. You know, it's disrespectful for the title and second for the champion. You know, so that is...
Yeah, definitely.
That puts the champion under, you know. So that's our discussion, underrated people. And so Cesaro is a very good example for this podcast. And it's a shame. We should not talk about him.
it is a shame, you know. Big Antonio Cesaro, he couldn't defend his title on the grandest stage, on the show that it matters the most. It is bad, but, I mean, let's face it. I mean, you look at the match card, you look at the card, and the card at WrestleMania, tell the truth, it was impressive, really. It was great. I mean, flipping out, there's so much talent. So much talent there. But at the same time, as good and solid as the card was, you know what I mean? Prior, going into WrestleMania, it was like, they could have added so much more.
Yeah.
In my opinion. You know what I mean? Even if it was like a ladder match for the US title or something, I think the synergy between WrestleMania and ladders, like, I just can't, you know, describe the magic behind it. WrestleMania and ladders, it's just beautiful. It's like a beautiful thing. And it's just a standard tag team match. You had a YouTube Intercontinental title, and there was no Divas title. It was just, man.
It just wasted an hour, and we just have a 6-minute match. Like, the match was okay, but for 6 minutes, and they both tried to do something, you know, they were rushing, you know, especially Wade. He was trying to lose the title as soon as possible, so they can get to the main show, because that was the main event of the future, and yeah. So they just wasted, you know, attacking from that box with Dusty and JR and Kofi. That was okay, giving your predictions for like 10-20 minutes. You don't let the United States Championship and its champion on the backstage, you don't. You know, so now it's official for what? For a 7-minute match? Like, come on.
I mean, yeah, a lot of us think that, yes, the US title should have been defended on the grandest stage. You know what I mean? He was a fighting champion as well. It wasn't like he used any underhanded tactics. It wasn't like he punched someone in the dick. It wasn't like he used a steel chair and licked them in their head or nothing like that. You know what I mean? He defended his title using real skills. And to see him not defend it at WrestleMania, it was a damn shame. But I pose to you this question, yeah?
Out
of that card, which match would you have rather not see and then put the US title in its place?
What match I did not want to see?
Yeah, what match did you not want to see? And before you even answer, you can't say Rock Cena 2, because that was a main event, so you can't change that. That's like Ironclad, but you could choose any of the others.
Yeah, so it will be Rock vs. Cena, like you said. I don't know. don't know, I cannot remember. No, it was what it was. But that would be Rock vs. Cena.
You can't say Rock vs. Cena, that was the main event! You can't say that!
Oh, come on.
I know the circumstances and the politics and the marketing behind that match, but that was still the main event. I'm saying, if you have to take one of those matches off the card, apart from Cena...
It wasn't the main event at all. It was just the last match, so, you know, not...
Yeah, but I'm saying, exchange, put the US title on the card instead, and take off a match that was probably not needed on that card. It is hard still, because, as I said, I told you, the WrestleMania card was solid. First match, Shield versus Famous Randy and Big Show, right? After that, you had Ryback and Mark Henry, two big guys, right? They had that. Then you had Jericho and Fandango, right? That's star power right there again. You see what I'm saying?
The match was disappointing. Gosh.
Which one? Jericho and Fandango?
Yeah, you know, so...
There you go! So, okay. So, alright then. So, would you rather have seen Jericho versus Fandango or Antonio Cesaro defending title?
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, they should not replace Fandango, like, it's his debut, you know, he's going to be a big deal, maybe, you know, not with that Fandango, and with Fandango going, we are going to talk about Saturday on whenever we do our podcast about it, what it was on Raw, and so... Let's get back to Cesaro. It was what it was. So he wasn't at WrestleMania. Okay, the WrestleMania passed. And now we are on Raw. On Monday, he lost the title to Kofi Kingston. And then Kofi Kingston said he brought the title home. Like, he's not from US. I mean, he's living in the US. But the gimmick is not saying this, you know. So I don't know where he brought it from, you know.
I don't know, man. I mean...
It was a pretty, a little bit hypocrite, you know.
Well, of course, but, you know, you're caught up in the moment, man. You know what I mean? We could nitpick at shit like that. You know what I mean? Saying that, oh, he's brought the title back home. But what he means by that is that even though he's not from the States, he was repping the States. You see what I'm saying? Kofi Kingston was repping the States, even though he's not exactly from there. Whereas my man, Antonio Cesaro, he was talking about, well, I'm from Switzerland, therefore, and I'm better than all you Americans.
But that was the thing, you know, to get a heat, it would be even better if he, like in the WWE 12 storyline, to trash the US title and bring back the European. That would be pretty damn happy. It would have been, but yeah.
You know what, it is what it is, man. You know what I mean? Big up for Kofi Kingston on that window still. You know what I mean? A bit disappointed that he's pretty much took a step back rather than going forward. Considering how Kofi Kingston's been in a company, and I would definitely have Kofi Kingston in that list of underrated wrestlers, man. Definitely, without shadow of a doubt. Man's got skills upon skills. He got a push at one point, and then something went wrong. You know what I mean? And then they're stuck in that mid-card, man. And the way I got it figured is the US title is not so prestigious as the Intercontinental title.
Yep.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, but, you know, so he was a pretty damn good champion, in my opinion, speaking 5 different languages, and, yeah, so he was a pretty good champion, but at one moment he became boring. I don't know, now, let's see, maybe he gets on the upper card, you know, rather than just going down, but this doesn't happen very often to the guys that lost the championship. I don't know.
You know what? I can see an Intercontinental title coming Antonio Cesaro's way at some point in his career. I could definitely see that. As far as the world title and all that, I'd say give Cesaro another year or so. Yeah, it sounds long, but, I mean, you got to think of all the talent. You got to think of all the people that they're looking to push and all the talent that's up in there. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's rough, man. It's rough out there, man.
Yeah.
Competition's fierce. More fierce than people think.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. What I'm saying is there are so many, but, I chose two that, I don't know, in my opinion, they just...
So, all right, so you got Cesaro, and you got Daniel Bryan. Even though Daniel Bryan's hit the big time once already, you still think he's underrated. Alright, who's your third one?
To be Dolph Ziggler until he won the titles. Because, you know, he... Everyone loved him. You know, everyone likes him. And he...
You said everyone likes Dolph Ziggler. Yeah?
But you.
Right. Let's get that right there. You may continue. Everyone likes Dolph Ziggler except moi. We not like him. Our business.
And I can bet you're not fandangoing with everyone.
No, I'm not fandangoing with anyone either. You know what I mean?
Hi.
Skills, yes. But the person, no.
Hi.
Don't like Fandango. Don't like Dolph Ziggler. Right? Don't like Dolph Ziggler. Don't like his character. Do not like him. Fandango, he's got a sexy woman he dances with, but he tells men to say his name. Unacceptable. And we don't even know what the girl's name is, for crying out loud, that he dances with. She comes out every week, we don't even know her name. Disrespect, man.
I know.
Man! Let me tell you something. A woman put you on this earth, you know. Is a woman put you on this earth. She didn't have to, but she did. And Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler and JBL don't even acknowledge the woman's name. Don't even acknowledge the woman. And I'm surprised at Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler is supposed to be all up in the women. And he don't know who she is, man. It's embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing.
Okay, so forgot those Ziggler. Just found another man, Kofi Kingston. He's underrated. The guy is underrated. Really like the guy. He's a sweetheart to tell you. I met him 2 times and he was always great. He also has wrestling skills. He's a good high flyer. And too bad that WWE doesn't give him TV time.
Oh man, sometimes I don't know what's going on in WWE's head, man. But back to Dolph Ziggler, man. I mean, yeah, you did say that he is kind of underrated to some degree. I mean, he's got the title now, yeah. I can't see him losing a title anytime soon.
That's
going to be a good run. Because Dolph Ziggler is that annoying kid. To me, he's annoying as fuck. Right? And annoying people like him usually keep the title for a good long while.
Yeah, I hope. Of course you don't, but at least everyone hopes.
Well, yeah, everyone else is hoping that, yeah, he keeps that title for a good long while because the truth, let's be honest, man, let's be truthful. It's like this. Dolph Ziggler, the minute he loses that title, there is no telling when he'll get it back again. Because of so much fierce competition, you talk about Antonio Cesaro, you talk about Wade Barrett, and then in time, if Justin Gabriel keeps going, he'll be up there too.
Yeah, I hope, but too bad I don't see him really, like I said, I also like Gabriel. Maybe one of my favorites in Nexus, along with Barrett, and, you know, maybe Ryback, because then he was the powerhouse and, you know, he get that heat by showstabbing, clotheslining Cena, you know, and I also liked Bryan, but then he was released, and it was that thing with the tie, you know, so he was one of my favorites in Nexus, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Maybe will be someone one day, and I really hope so. Maybe not in WWE. Maybe I would not like to see him in TNA or something. He will be a good X Division guy, but no. In WWE is his place. Maybe not a main event or so. At least to be around a title like US or IC.
All you could do is stay tuned, man. Justin Gabriel. I mean, they're looking to give him a push now, so it's like, it won't be long before he becomes Intercontinental Champion and then Wade Barrett moves up the ladder. Because, you know what I mean, with CM Punk out the picture and everything, they're going to be looking for that top heel. I mean, I think Ryback's going to have that for the moment, but that's only a guess. But Wade Barrett will be escalated because he's already done that before, so we know he's more than capable of doing it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
man. Big up yourself, though, genius, man. Yo, you can catch me and Marion on the Saturday Night's Main Event show on YouTube as well. Yeah. Saturday Night's Main Event with the STC. We talk about the Raw rundown and plus all the news and happenings and latest goings on in the Smack Talk Centre and wrestling worldwide and all that, man. So, you know what I mean? Keep it locked for that and all that good stuff, man. Hey, yo, pick up yourself, Marion and Tyler, man. You know what I mean? And I'll catch you next time, man. Good to speak to you, man.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, and everyone at home watching us, have a great time, guys. Thanks for following us.
Big up yourself, man. Peace.
You got the heart to bust back. Yeah. I'm in the club with not one but two cats.
Yo, it's a team, realistically speaking, get left.
Okay, yeah. Big up to the man called Marion Toler right there. Next up on the underrated list on the Gift of the Curse show. You know what I mean? So many talented wrestlers, but never seem to hit the big titles for some crazy reason. Next up, we've got the legendary Icy Fresh. Legendary Shadow Fiver, what's up?
Yo, Icy Fresh. First, I'd like to give a shout out to my fans. The icicles.
The icicles! What up, Shadow?
Yo, cool, man.
This is no formal introduction.
I'm just talking on a little front and something, so.
Oh, I understand.
Get my Jack Swagger on.
You're getting his Jack Swagger on right now. We the people and shit. Bit of punk. Still don't like that motherfucker. Now, we're talking the Gift and the Curse right now. Underrated wrestlers who we think should have made it, or if they did make it, it wasn't for long. Your three chosen guys, or girls, depending. Who you got?
Well, first on the list has to be Mae Young.
Come on! Are you taking that piece? Are you taking
that? Let me just repeat that. Mae Young.
You might have been off for about 2 minutes and you gave me a joke already. Mae Young underrated. But wasn't she like a women's champion in her time or something?
I think it was looks.
What? Damn, I didn't know he was on it.
That was just private joke. We're not recording, are we? That was just private joke.
Too late.
Edit that shit.
That's going out live around the world. You know what I mean? Well, boy, Chad, all I can say is you and your baby mother can have a fight. Yeah. That's
you've done swiftly.
Why? It's either that's all you want to catch with Mark Henry. It's one of the two. And even I've got to say I don't like your chances. Right.
I agree.
Three underrated wrestlers. Mae Young, she was women's champion in her time. So I don't think she counts.
Nah, of course not.
Yeah, well, I've just had people just didn't need to look at her as much as like sharing it. I think that's what it means. She had her own special charms.
Well, of course, I mean, why? I
forgot about Royal Rumble 2000.
Royal Rumble 2000, I nearly lost my eyesight, man. Thank God for WWF. They censored that shit, Chris Train, man. And it was on Channel 4, man.
I know, man. You want to be on Channel 5?
Channel 4, man, it was on Channel 4, and it wasn't even pay-per-view, well, it was a pay-per-view event, but we had it for free over here in the UK.
Yeah, free, just free TV.
So, you know, I think we must have had some snitches, you know what I mean, gone back to America and told Vincent Kennedy that, say, yo, the people over in the UK, they're getting all the pay-per-views for free, you know? And then he's like, I am none of that, it's all about the money. He must have talked to Sky, and then next thing you know, we're paying for pay-per-views, and they're not even good.
Isn't it? So I felt sorry for the American
people,
man.
Yeah, where the fuck did Channel 4 get the money to buy a pay-per-view for free anyway?
I don't know. I've been
watching
Channel 4 all the time, innit?
No, Jimmy don't know about Channel 4.
Man, they need to start putting them pay-per-views on Channel 4 again, man. You know what I mean? Like they're not even that good.
And then see how quick the ratings will rise?
It's true! It's true, man. I'll be down for that shit. Yo, Channel 4. But then again,
you got Total Nonsense. They have their pay-per-view, well, not their pay-per-views, their, was it Thursday Night Action or
something? Yeah, Challenge TV over here in the UK. I don't check for that. I check for WrestleTalk, man, but I think they're I think they're very TNA influenced and orientated as well, because I think it's part
of... Yeah, that still exists.
What?
That still exists.
What? Wrestle Talk?
No, TNA.
I think TNA's still out there, man. TNA's still out there. You know what I mean? Last time I checked, Nick Carter was talking about having a mic on a referee's shirt, so you get a mad angle of the wrestling and shit. But I don't know, man. I mean, me personally, I don't check for that, man. I don't check for total nonsense, atrocious wrestling, man.
I heard something, and I was walking past town the other day, and I seen Jay Lethal coming to Wolverhampton.
Forget that. You
know they want to see Jay Lethal.
Forget that.
He was a good wrestler before he went to TNA, but I don't know, man. It'd probably be good to see him. Civic Center.
Well, you know what, Jay Leaf, I'll probably have to YouTube him and find out what he's all about. But forget that. You know what I mean? We got
you see the Macho Man boy?
Who was the Macho Man dude?
Yeah, man, I'm going to check for him still. But, back to the subject at hand, the gift and the curse. Which wrestlers you think's got the gift, but they seem to be cursed?
Well, the most obvious one is Kofi Kingston at the moment. I mean,
Kofi Kingston, man. Yeah, man. I mean,
what are they doing to him, man?
I mean, holding him back, man. I mean, you're not a science behind that already, man. Shit. I mean, it's like, yo, me and the genius, man, we told that. We already spoke about this, well, briefly. We only touched upon it earlier in the show. And that man, you know what? I want to pick up the man called Chad Gaspar from Crime Time. He appeared on the BDSR network some time ago. And even he said, right, that Kofi Kingston should be at least World Heavyweight Champion by now. At least.
I'm saying, man, if Dolph Ziggler's had it and Jack Swagger's had it, why not Kofi Kingston?
Well,
it don't make no sense. When he's got the skills, he's got the mic skills. But like I said before, they might have to just turn him heel. They might have to get rid of the dreadlocks. Get him more on the mic, speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn heel. That's what they might have to do, man. I could see that working.
Well, if they don't do that, yeah, I mean, it's bad, you know, because he just won the US title of My Man. And
yes.
And it's like, to me, as I said earlier, that's more of a step back than going a step forward. Because he's already done beat Intercontinental Championship. And in my opinion, Intercontinental is more prestigious than the US title.
But none of them mean shit now, remember? None of the titles mean shit no more, man. Just because he's got that belt, Cesaro had it and he was losing every week. So the belts really don't mean crap, really.
Yeah, but
and if you think about it, yeah, Kofi Kingston every week on Raw, he's losing matches, and he gets a title shot.
Yeah, but my defense truth is that all that was to put him up against the big dogs to see how he fared in the main event picture. That's all that was.
Why him when he's got the title, man? It's making the belt not mean nothing.
Because them man, they've been there already. They've been there, done that already. You see what I'm saying? Randy Orton, Jericho, Big Show, and all the rest of them. They've done that already. But it's like, I want to see what he could do in the main event situation. They're trying him out, man. That's what it is. It's what you call an unofficial trial, in my opinion. If I'm wrong, then, yo, I'm wrong. That's how I see it, man. They're looking to elevate him.
Well, he deserves it, man. Remember back in 2008 or something like that, when he had that beef with Randy Orton?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of gave him a push then.
Yes. Now, Kofi, in that sense of the word, yeah, man. Because that was the first time I seen Kofi back. He was actually angry and shit.
And he was smashed up the car and stuff like that.
Smashed up the car, you know what I mean? I miss shit like that.
He had to push then, but...
Something went straight wrong. You know what I mean? But why? It's true they could easily turn Kofi heel, because we've seen how he... Remember that one match he had with the Miz? And he kicked him down.
Yeah.
They could have been played on that, man.
Especially when Miz tried to shake his hand as well, and then he rejected his handshake, didn't he?
Yeah. That time we didn't know the Miz was turning face. He was turning good. And I was like, oh hell no! Does he have to turn good?
And yeah, no one knew the Marine was coming out.
Oh bloody hell!
That doesn't even make sense, man.
Well, have you seen that film, The Marine 3?
No. I've got it, but I'm trying not to watch it.
You try not to watch it?
Every other film in my collection until that is the last one to watch.
So how did you manage to get your hands on that?
Just downloaded it, of course.
I wouldn't even done that, man. Double up, man.
Mr. Naomi Hulk Hogan, that's underrated.
Who's your person?
Oh, are we talking like just current wrestlers or?
No, man, we can go any era, man.
British Bulldog.
Oh!
UK's own. Manchester, England.
British Bulldog, man. Look from when he could have been WWF champion, man, and then look what happened to him.
Yeah.
That's bad, man. It makes me, you know what I mean? It makes me sick. It makes me sick to know that guys like him, it's all talented and had the skills and they could have went all the way, and then their life just cut short, so like that. And you know what I mean? It makes me think, man, what was the WWE thinking? You know what I mean? We could have at least made him champion once or something.
Too much steroids, that's what the problem was.
Probably.
Man, obviously, he must have had his troubles.
He was always on him.
I mean, I think he could have been champion around the time when Diesel was the man back in
95.
Yeah.
And that was the worst year ever for wrestling, man.
95?
Yeah, man. Disgusting when I think about that, them times, man.
You really think so?
Yeah, man, 95 was just boring. Boring year for wrestling, that was.
You know who was underrated as well? The fake Diesel and the fake Razor Ramon. But I had music before that actually came out. I thought that was real. But
no, it's funny you mentioned the fake Diesel, you know, because me and Mario were talking about Kane as well, sort of thing. You know, kind of touched on him. You know what I mean? Like, he did have that cool title run with the heavyweight title, but why? And especially when the first time he became WWE champion, he was only champion for like one day.
I don't think he'll give it back to him again now.
Nah, I don't think so. But it's like, I don't know why, man. It seems to be like WWF's got like a hard time giving guys like Kane and Umaga and, you know, like monsters, giving them the title. And I think if he gives him the title, it is official. You know what I mean? Interesting.
That's true.
I mean, it's interesting as he is as a monster anyway, as a monster heel. But you know what I mean? What's the deal, man? Just give him the title, man. Shit.
Boogeyman. Boogeyman was like, kind of like a monster, and he was underrated.
True.
Boogeyman.
Boogeyman, boy. Man, I'm too much worm. That's what happened to me, man. Where our blood clot, God.
I'll be promoting that to the kids.
Nah, man. I mean, I'll be telling kids that eating worms is the one, man. I mean, when we was all kids, right? We used to mess with worms and shit.
Exactly.
Right. So you couldn't make, even in TV14 mode, you couldn't make Boogeyman the champion. He'd have to change up his gimmick and shit.
Yeah, it's easy, man. Give us some disco moves. You can call him the Boogeyman.
Yeah, man. Fuck around the Muppet Fandango, the bloody champion at this rate. Where are you going?
I hope not, anyway.
Yeah, he's going on a world tour, man. Fandango. He doesn't need WWE now, he's bigger than WWE.
Did you know?
Yeah, if you take the Fandango show live, I bet you it's quite a few tickets.
Let me tell you something, right? If it wasn't for Margaret Thatcher's death, I think that Fandango team would have nicked number one, you know.
Yeah.
I like me, I tell.
Was Margaret Thatcher number one?
Nah, I think that tune hit number two or something. Ding Dong, the Bitch Is Dead or something like that it was called.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
That hit number two or something. Something else hit number one, but if it wasn't for Margaret Thatcher, that Fandango tune would have licked number one over here in the UK, surely.
And that's once again respect to Jim Johnson, man. Not Fandango, fuck yourself. It's Jim Johnson.
Jim Johnson, yes.
Underrated, man.
Definitely should be inducted now, but after that. I mean, we spoke about it before, but now, definitely now. I am disgusted to know that no one. In fact, Jim Johnson, underrated.
Yep.
Jim Johnson is underrated, man.
He's insane, man. He needs to get on TV or something, man. Like, show his face.
Maybe like Jay Dillon's in the public eye like that.
Yeah. But you know what? He could do beats for anyone, really.
Matter of fact, I don't know what the hell Jim Johnson looks like to blood class.
I've seen him on Wikipedia, so there's a short paragraph on Wikipedia about
him. Is there?
A short paragraph?
Picture of him as well?
Yeah, I think there's a picture as well.
He's
saying that how he looks at the character, and then he makes the beats. And that's where you get beats like Austin and DX.
Yeah. Because it makes sense, doesn't it, man?
Yeah.
It makes sense. When Austin came out, he had that reggae music.
Look at someone and think, yeah, oh God, I'm going to have some glass smashing and then some sick beats.
And Fandango as well.
Yeah.
It works. You know what I mean? With Kane, you had that horror.
You look at him, he's a monster, and then you got the little intro, and then you got the fireworks, and then beat drops, man.
Yeah, man. Why is not inducted yet? I don't know, man. I know big time wrestlers come up on BDSI Network, and I'm sure that they're hearing this, and I'm sure they know Vincent Kennedy, and looking at these. Well, we can tweet Vincent Kennedy now and say, yo, listen here, get Jim Johnson inducted. Serious. If you can induct Donald Trump, if you can induct that idiot boy, why didn't you? Drew Carey, he didn't do a damn thing.
He's in the Royal Rumble.
He's in the Royal Rumble. Kane come out, and then he left the ring, and he got inducted for that. Unbelievable. I heard that there's Vincent Kennedy's limo driver?
Yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Is he?
Not well known. I want to pick up Roy Warren Lucia for that one. Because he brought it to my attention that Vince's limo driver is in the Hall of Fame. I was like, what? He even brought up the evidence and shit. I was like, rah.
Was it like a ceremony in that for him?
Not to my knowledge. I think it was before the Hall of Fame became a ceremony.
Oh, see.
One of them ones, yeah. Yeah, man.
You know, when you're in the Hall of Fame, do you have a picture on the wall at the WWE headquarters or anything like that? Is it actually like a Hall of Fame to go and look at?
The Hall of Fame is in Vince McMahon's head, man. It's just something that he created, When he dies, man, someone will probably do something about the Hall of Fame, but at the moment, it's just in Vince's head, man.
No, but I would have agreed with Ivan. I would have thought that, they would have had,
I'm saying, look how long the Hall of Fame's been running and haven't built a building or anything.
Or a shrine or something.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's just in his head, man.
I mean, how can you even remember? Where'd you go?
I have to wait for Triple H to take charge and Stephanie, because...
Well, boy...
Now that they're in charge now, things are starting to run a bit different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you this, if Jay-Z can remember so much lyrics in his head and not write shit down and bring out album after album after album, I'm sure Vincent Kennedy has no problem in remembering who's in the Hall of Fame and who's not.
Exactly. I've also got DVDs and that.
Yeah, man. To be fair, I don't remember who's in the Hall of Fame. I just remember the main guys, the main people that's in there.
The headquarters in New York, they just have this corridor with pictures in the Hall of Fame or something like that, do you know what I mean?
They've got to.
I don't believe that. Stamford,
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Pictures of him and Triple H's daughter and stuff, man, and I'm going to have... Having that shit up there, man.
You know what? We should make it into a game as well. Hall of Fame. And put all the Hall of Fame wrestlers in.
Yo. I mean, I've always thought that, as far as WWE 2014, I've always wondered where they're going to go from here. Because you got the Attitude Era with WWF 13. I don't know how the hell they're going to top that.
With a new follower as well, 2K.
Yeah, it's going to be...
I'm worried about that, man.
As far as I'm concerned, WWE 13 is the best wrestling game I've ever played.
You're damn right, man.
Apart from WrestleFest, of course, from back in the day. So back to the gift and the curse. Kofi's got the gift and the curse. Who else got it, man?
The Bulldog, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bulldog. And who's the third?
Okay, Marty Jannetty.
Marty Jannetty. Man, break it down to the masses right there.
Start off in the tag team with Shawn Michaels, as we all know. And then, everyone looked like he was going to be the star. Same thing happens nowadays, there's always one star from the team. But then obviously, Marty must have had his problems, and obviously failed to get pushed. And then Shawn went on to be the biggest star. is it a K-Fame again with British Bulldog, man? Is it about, it's just the drugs, man?
Yeah.
Times, man, the early 90s, too many wrestlers are on the drugs and the steroids and all that shit, man. That's why half of them aren't here today.
And that's, yeah, and that's why, that's partly the reason why Bruno Famantino didn't support, you know what I mean? And it took a hell of a lot of convincing to get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, from Triple X.
Changing shit up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And on that note, don't expect TV 14 to ever come back now. Because my man, Bruno was against all that shit as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was like proper wrestling.
He was about the wrestling in its purest form.
Yeah.
And now he's in the Hall of Fame. He's like that insurance policy, right? That it never goes back to that sort of style again, which is a damn shame. But
well, like, it's all right. Like they still have their blood now. They fight a bit more. It's just when they use it right, after use the blood at that time.
Bruno thinks anyway, he's like old school, he's like boring wrestling, so I'm wrestling like that, man. Boring.
And that's what Triple H likes, man. Triple H likes wrestling like that. He likes the game, he's a cerebral assassin, he likes that kind of wrestling.
But I've always thought that, you know, Triple H comes from that era. I thought it was like at least implemented, but I'm sure that's what he's trying to do, to be honest with you. He's trying to implement some attitude elements, but full blown. You see what I'm saying? Now you've got Mad Storylines, you've got like Jack Swagger being and Zeb Coulter being like we the people and no one can cross our borders and shit. You got CM Punk who was like disrespecting the dead and all that. You know what I mean? Those are like kind of
bit edgier, man.
Edgier TV 14 like storylines. They even triple
not quite Katie Dick.
Nowhere near that. Even Triple H in his own storylines with Brock Lesnar. You know what I mean? He wants to make it as brutal as possible. You know what I mean? It ain't no straight wrestling match with him and Brock.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I mean, Triple H...
If you think about Triple H, the last few matches, most of them have been, like, street fights, no disqualification.
Yeah. Because that's what Triple H excels in.
I think all the way back to them wars with Mick Foley.
He was with Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels back in the day.
Michaels as well.
Serious. Kevin Nash, Batista.
Rock, man, Triple H.
Exactly. Triple H, he loves them reader matches. I mean, I go back in the matches that I've watched over the years. Like, my favourite matches, and most of them have got involved Triple H, even though back then I hated his guts. But that was because Triple H was the main heel and all that, and his matches were compelling to watch.
He
was a tough motherfucker at the same time.
Yeah. Unlike JBL back in the SmackDown reign.
JB, why? JB's a bad bugger. JB is meant to be laughing when he gets bet, man. He gets angry, he gets all red in his face. You know what I mean?
I'll probably get bet. Sitting next to Michael Cole, to be fair.
Oh no! You know what? Give me a joke. When a lot of WrestleMania, and does advertising those toys,
flipping around.
And you saw JBL beating down Rey Mysterio with his fist.
Oh yeah.
He still hasn't got over it, you know. He still hasn't got over that shit.
That day.
But as I say, Marty Jannetty. That's my second pick.
That's what it is, man. Because a lot of tag teams. They said, one of us is going to become the Shawn Michaels, and you're going to become Marty Jannetty of the team.
And that's become the phrase now, to be the Jannetty.
Yeah.
To be the Jannetty, then.
I mean, oh, man. Jannetty, man. And, you know, from time to time, he'll pop his head round, probably when he's Brock or something. He'll use the extra cast. And he'll appear in WWF programming and have a little match with somebody.
He already got caught stealing the other day.
Oh, dear. We won't be stealing it now, then.
He was working at a show. He did must have had a match or whatever, and then like afterwards he was like robbing the vendors, like just taking T-shirts and stuff, some of the merchandise.
Why are we doing that, man? Was he not paid enough or something?
What knows, man?
I doubt this indie man. It's about 50, eh?
Probably. I think he's not far off.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Man.
Hard times, man.
Ain't Razor in the wheelchair as well?
Who?
Razor Ramon.
If he was, he was doing that yoga thing with DDP.
Everyone recommends that.
Apparently
it's supposed to be like... Helps Jericho in it as well.
And they can walk, like...
Yeah. Last time I saw Razor Ramon when he was a kid, he was on a cooking show, man. He was standing up, he was cooking, he was running jokes and everything. He's looking good.
Ready for a push.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Yeah,
well, get back on it, man.
Yeah, him and Hogan, man, and X-Pac.
Matter of fact,
and
he's the one guy I could say, yeah, on the... To my knowledge, I don't remember Razor Ramon ever grabbing the big one.
Nah, he never made it, man.
He's definitely one of them.
Yeah, he could have.
You know what I mean? You had that wicked piece of match with him and Shawn Michaels back at WrestleMania in the ladder match.
Yeah.
He's huge with my man. Rhymeium, Goldust. I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
That used to give me dog. I don't know. Maybe it was because he let the 1-2-3 kid beat him. I don't know.
Yeah, that was one of the people on the list. Well, the Cannonball Kid. He was underrated. No one knew it. We're going to beat Razor Ramon before it happened. He just looked like some jobber. And let's be honest, all jobbers are underrated. And until the sneak and the proper wrestler, he looks kind of like a jobber. And look at the fluke win, which is what happened with Cannonball Kid. Bad Razor, didn't he, like, crack his ass?
Split his ass, man, or tore his ass, man.
Yeah, he did, man.
Because,
you know why?
Because
he's
strong.
You're not supposed to be doing that move. When you see, was it Kenny that used to do it? If it wasn't Kenny, it was somebody else.
It was Kenny, wasn't it?
I'm sure it was Kenny that used to do that same move.
Terry Reynolds used to do it as well back in the day.
Who?
Terry Reynolds used to do it as well.
Terry Reynolds, see? That's a female's move, man.
Mae Young invented it back in the 50s.
There you go. A female invented that shit. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to be doing that move.
Yeah, I can hear people trying to counter me now saying, oh, what about it, man? You just Wing Chun. Well, female invented that. Now, that's different. You know what I mean? That's a martial art. That's different. You know what I mean? Wrestling is a form of martial arts as well, if you really look at it. But that move right there, I'm not supposed to do that move there. No, sir. You know what I mean? You're a wrestler, right? And you get thrown into the turnbuckle, right? Mm. You mean to tell me you're going to make the next man jump on you and have his balls jumping in front of you?
Yeah, it's very sad. I've a stink face too.
Well, that's next level, man. That's next level, man. Bye.
Front or back? I'd rather have back.
If Vincent Kennedy, right, can go up in Rikishi's ass like that, you know what I mean? Why? I think he's saying that anyone can go up in there.
Yeah.
Stephanie went up in there as well, didn't she?
Think, mate.
I'm sure she did, you know.
I think she did, you know.
Yeah. They teased it for weeks and then they finally got it.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I think they did get Stephanie, man. Oh, gosh.
Ow. Triple H kissed it better.
Oh, dear. Don't give me no joke, man. Yo, we could talk about this all day, man. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut this shit short, man. Word is gone. Big up yourselves, man. You came through again and killed it, man. You know what I mean? And if I didn't thank you before, I thank you again for dropping that little WrestleMania freestyle you did a few weeks back. You definitely caught people off guard with that one, even me. You know what I mean? And like I said, I knew you was cooking up something, but I didn't think it was that. So that'd be a big up yourself for that, man. And yo, and we'll hope to talk to you again on the BDSR network, man.
Yeah, man, of course, always.
Yeah, man,
big up yourself, all right, man. Peace.
Yo, shout out,
boo. Material, bust gap, bust rap, you reliving, yo. Reliving you till your funeral, assuming that you got the heart to bust back. Yeah. I'm in the cup with not one but two cats.
Yo, it's a team, realistically speaking. Yeah. Hey, yo. current IC freshmen. I mean, it's a shame that they couldn't be on a lot longer, you know what I mean? But, you know, tight restrictions and all that. You know what I mean? Big up to those guys, man. I hope to talk to them again. You know what I mean? I know you guys want to hear from them again, because they do just give you a different flavor on things, man. Where it's fun. But now's the time for the craziest boy to ever hit the microphone. And I'm not talking about CM Punk. I'm not talking about Dolph Ziggler. I'm not even talking about Iraq. I'm talking about the man called J. Midas.
How are we, sir? How are we?
I'm blessed, man, as usual. I feel so imperial, man. You know what I mean? Why, yo, we are talking about the gift and the curse right now. Wrestlers that got the gift, wrestling skills for days, but the curse is they never become champion, or if they did become champion, it was probably only for 2 days or some bullshit like that, or they became champion once and never made it again. So, Jay, I know you've got some back there. Who you got, man? Who's your gift and the curse?
Right, well, let me start off with my first star, my first pick, which is CM Punk. He's underrated in every
what?
Form of life. No, I'm playing. This is not Punk Radio. I'm only joking. It should have been longer. How dare they take the belt off him? How dare they?
Oh, he's still mad about that. Come
no
on,
streak, man. Didn't end the streak, had the belt taken off him, lost to Cena. Do I need to go on anymore?
Oh, man. No one can hit 434 days in this day and age, man.
No one.
And it all happened that he was going to face The Rock. And before that, The Rock done said already, whoever the champion is, come Royal Rumble, we're going to fight them, right? And take the title off them. You know what I mean? If they think them bad, I'll take the title off them. And it just so happens to be CM Punk. Did it happen by coincidence? Well, boy. I don't know, man. We probably done the knowledge from War 1000. It was going to be him anyway.
Look, man, I like to think CM Punk gave it The Rock. Okay? Because he's a good person. Like myself, he's a good person at heart. He gave him the title. See, I don't go walking the streets and telling women that their babies are ugly and stuff like that. I leave it for the radio show. I went to them in the comfort. I leave it to them in the comfort of my own house, and then I let the heels out.
That is ugly,
go away.
CM Punk underrated. Wow.
Yeah, I'm playing. No, well, sort of. I'm playing. Yeah, CM Punk rated highly in my estimation. Right, before I start, let me give a shout out to some of them that I've missed off the list. We could only pick three. So I want to give a shout-out to Tajiri, who is incredibly talented and underused. Ultimo Dragon's loads and loads of history with him in the WWE. He was also really criminally unused. Shelton Benjamin, dope, without saying. Definitely. Shelton Benjamin was amazing. I've watched some of his previous matches leading up into doing some research for this. Jesus, man. Why the WWE got rid of Shelton Benjamin, I will never know. And they have the likes of the great Khali still. But, you know, that's WWE logic. But I ain't hating on that.
You know what? Before you go on, that one of the most dumbest things WWE could have ever done, man, where it is born. I mean, there was a period in 2005, I don't know if you was watching WWF at this time, because I know you had a little break, had a brief hiatus from WWF.
Hey,
I
think I might have been fluctuating at this point. It was
around 2005, I'm sure it was around that year, where Shelton Benjamin defeated Triple H 3 times in a row on Raw. Each Raw episode, they had Shelton Benjamin go up against Triple H in a different scenario, and each time Shelton won, right?
There you are.
And it was shocking, man, and you know, that alone just said, yeah, this guy, he's got skills, he can go all the way. And then I think the 4th week he went up against Shawn Michaels, I think, and then he tried to come off the ropes, and then Shawn Michaels kicked him in his head, and that was the end of Shelton Benjamin.
See, Mike, there's this ideology that was in the WWE that only big guys can hold the titles. You have to be a big guy to hold them. Then we had this influx of what is known as vanilla midgets. you know, like your CM Punks and your Chris Jerichos and people like that. Now, Shelton Benjamin was the exact same build as these guys, so why didn't he sort of get a run when he was quite clearly talented?
It's a shame. And, you know, when you speak on that, that brings me to Rey Mysterio. You know what I mean? Big ups to the man called Eddie. Big ups to the man called Eddie Guerrero. But ask yourself this, would Rey Mysterio would have ever captured that title if it wasn't for Eddie's death?
Probably not. Would, like currently, would Kofi Kingston be US champion if it wasn't for the bombings in Boston? Probably not.
Probably not. And I'll give you another example. Would Christian become world heavyweight champion had it not been for Edge's sudden retirement?
Would Undertaker have beat CM Punk if it wasn't for Paul Bearer's death?
No. You have to pose this question.
Look, man, I had to drop that one.
You're a wretch. You are a wretch. What? You saw the show. It's true.
I saw the gap.
Yeah, you saw the gap. You went in. You saw the opportunity. You went in. You see what I'm saying? You're the same guy who dissed The Rock for taking the opportunity and going in.
Yes.
I got you, Tim.
But Mike, I don't care. I'm a contradiction. I'm Jeremiah. Don't do what I say.
No. But it's true. You have to ask yourself these questions. Would this have happened? You know, you see what I'm saying? WWE's a funny place, man. Oh, all right then. If you want to keep on the subject of Undertaker, would Undertaker have become the World Wrestling Federation champion back in 1997 at WrestleMania 13 had it not been for Shawn Michaels having to give up his title? And then he went into some mad shit. Shawn Michaels lost his smile. Next man got in the title picture. He just went into it became a mess. And then it turned out to be Stone Cold Steve versus Undertaker at WrestleMania 13. Would you have become champion then?
Possibly. Would Kofi Kingston have been Intercontinental Champion if it wasn't for the belt being made vacant by Drew McIntyre?
Man! So
and I'm out now. I'm out. I've got nothing left.
So that is true. It is true. So many questions. I mean, I could go back as far as 2001, the 9/11 attacks. You know what I mean? If those Twin Towers never got blown up and put into the ground like that, would Kurt Angle have took the title of Stone Cold Steve Austin at the following pay-per-view?
It's true.
There you go. It's easy.
Shitty. We're dropping so much knowledge on you guys. I swear to God, we should be paid for this shit.
You know what I mean? What? Yo, but we're doing this for the cause first, man.
We're doing this for the love of wrestling, exactly.
It's for the love first, man. You know what I mean? Money comes after, although I do need a new TV still. I do need a new HD TV. I can't be dealing with this Scott TV, man. Where is Brian? I mean, playing games in Scott TV is not the lick, man. I mean, it was cool when you had the Sega Saturn and the PlayStation 1 button and the PlayStation 2, but not now, not in these days, man. It's not good, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, please help a brother out. Please send your donations to @SmackTalkCenter at www.facebook.com/groups/ SmackDogCenter/ get Mike a new HDTV. Thank you very much. All donations are greatly appreciated.
I prefer being cash.
All major credit cards accepted.
Woo! Shit is crazy, dog. Alternatively, you can tweet us at @MacTalkCenter. Or even Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News @PowerbombPWN.
Just give us the money!
It's all about the money! The gift and the curse.
The gift and the curse, right.
I stopped you at
the Benjamin. Right. I want to give a shout out to Goldust.
Goldust. Stop you right there.
Go on.
Goldust, man. Goldust. Despite his bizarre character and shit back in the 90s, he definitely could have went all the way as well. Grab that.
I mean, not only was he a good in-ring performer, and his persona was like larger than life, even to the point when was it Ahmed Johnson that he gave the kiss of life to, and he started.
No!
Even at that point where it was wrong, it was still Goldust, so it was okay, man. Like, it was nothing.
No.
When he teamed up with Booker T, my favourite era of the Goldust era was when he teamed up with Booker T. That was genius. Absolute genius. Man.
Yeah, man, that was gold as well, man. You know, at the time, I was in a struggle because I wanted Booker T to be Booker T. I mean, I wanted to be the WCW Booker T and all of that. You see what I'm saying? But the Goldust pairing, it turned out to be genius, man.
Have you seen, Mike, there's that clip. I think I brought it up in a previous show, maybe even our first show, when I was on about Booker T with a lightsaber after Goldust dressed up like Darth Vader. If you can peep that video, trust me, it's one of the funniest things that WWE ever did, man. To watch Booker T think he's a Jedi Knight, it's brilliant.
That's the beauty of WWE, you know what I mean? Sometimes you ain't going to be all serious and straight wrestling match. I've openly stated that I watch WWE for jokes. I like to see some joke. I'm not that dude that likes to see just wrestling match after wrestling match after wrestling match. Fuck that! Yeah, I said it. You know what I mean? That shit's boring. You know what I mean?
Tell me you didn't just say that.
Yeah, I said it. I said it on the BDSIR network, I said it. On the network that was generated around this wrestling shit. Wrestling match after wrestling match is boring. Fuck that. I like to see jokes in between. I like to see storylines and shit. Shit, man.
That's right, man.
I want to see that shit that I can talk about for years to come, man. Not just wrestling matches, and that's the truth. You may continue going after Goldust.
So, yeah, Goldust, shout out to Anthony Cardenas. For Goldust. Goldust is biggest fan, number one Dust fan. Dean Malenko, again, criminally underused when you've got the likes of YJ, Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and then you've got Dean Malenko, the man of a thousand holds, who was really underused in my opinion.
Yeah, Perry Saturn had skills.
Perry Saturn.
Running around with
the horseman. And finally, my other notable mention, John Morrison. Which everybody knows, man. I'm a massive fan of this guy. Massive fan of this guy.
I wasn't, but, you know.
His mic work's not the best, but I honestly believe that if WWE would have pushed him right and kept it up and his matches, because he was getting better and better and better, he could have been the next Edge. He could have been the next Shawn Michaels. Yeah, I said it. John Morrison's could have been the next Edge or the next Shawn Michaels, in my opinion. We're grown man here, I don't care.
The worst thing about it, he was on the brink of making it there, man.
He was on the brink of greatness. He was there, Mike. He was hanging from an elimination chamber, and he dropped the ball, man. I don't know, he went and whacked in.
Could not believe it. John Morrison would be main eventing by now, man.
I mean, I tell you what, right. John Morrison came through with The Miz. Now, The Miz got a massive push. The Miz ended up being this big star, headlining WrestleMania. He's absolute bullshit. The guy's in the Marine Free. He's fucking awful. And then you've got John Morrison, who's not very good on the mic, but he's so mad talented in the ring. Now he's off doing some, I don't know, probably B-movie somewhere. And he's...
I don't know.
It makes me sick sometimes.
You know what I mean? For all we know, he's probably got all up in China's ass.
Speaking of China, my first star, my underrated star, is Sean Waltman. Nice link there, Mike. AKA the 1-2-3 kid.
Oh my days. X-Pac.
Let me drop a little bit of history on X-Pac and why I think X-Pac's underrated. Sean Waltman, aka the 1-2-3 kid, was trained by Boris Malenko, which ties in nicely to Dean Malenko,
yeah,
the man of a thousand olds, and he debuted in 1993. Originally, he debuted as a jobber, but he later went on to beat Razor Ramon, who at the time was a very big talent in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former tag champion with Marta Jannetty and Bob Holly. He went on to feud with Bret Hart, and he nearly actually won the title in 1994. After his departure from WWE, he joined WCW under the name of Six, and became part of the legendary NWO. He later won the Cruiserweight belt, beating Dean Malenko of all people, but he later dropped it to Y2J. He then joined the Outsiders, but was fired by Eric Bischoff while away, injured for his misdemeanours. After that, he came back to the WWE as X-Pac and joined the legendary, as we all know, DX. He feuded with Dino Brown to become the European champion and held the tag titles twice with Kane. He later left DX and made his own short-lived faction called the X-Factor, with Justin Credible and Albert or Tensai or whoever whoever he is nowadays. Tons of fun. he won the light heavyweight belt, and then he went and the WCW cruiserweight belt, and he became the only person to ever hold these belts simultaneously. He's currently on a WWE Legends contract. X-Pac remains, in my opinion, one of the most underrated stars in wrestling history. DX, NWO, Outsiders, four-time tag champ, light heavyweight champion, European champion, cruiserweight champion, took Bret to the limit, yet he still lacks any sort of recognition in the WWE or the wrestling world. Even to the point, there's a wrestling term called getting X-Pac heat. You ever heard of this, Mike, if you're getting X-Pac heat?
Nope. Not even I've heard that shit.
Well, I've heard this a few times, man. It's on a few wrestling forums. A lot of I think the IWC came up with this, man. But I've heard it at like I'm sure JBL's dropped it once or twice, and it's in one of the WWE games as well. This is when a wrestler is hated on not because of the persona or the actual wrestler's skill, but it's because the fans actually detest the performer as a person, thus getting X-Pac heat. So for me, that's my first star from the older era, X-Pac. What are your views on it?
Now, you know what? I was going to ask you, yeah, why do you think that X-Pac was, like, hated so much? So, do you think this was, like, a similar thing happening with John Cena sort of thing? With, like, at least half of it, he's just been hated just because?
I think, sort of, kind of. It's like, everybody's got, like, really fond memories of DX. But, you know, Triple H and Shawn Michaels didn't force it down our throat at the start, whereas I think X-Pac, like, sort of did. He, when he came out, he was DX, DX, DX. He was the rebel, and he, you know, he played up to it so much. I think he got saturated, and fans just got bored of it to the point where, you know, he started getting point now. What I will personally point, Cena heat, where you've been overexposed so much, people actually turn on you.
So, I don't know, maybe, and this is from my observation, maybe it started to stem from when he was in DX and in Teeth Tory from Kane. Remember that shit?
Yeah, that's
definitely. I think it stemmed from there. From that point, that was it. He never got cheered ever again.
The thing is, Mike, although they sort of changed the storyline and he got a lot of beef for that, wrestling fans aren't that fickle. Well, are fickle, really. Occasionally, they'll, like, even if he's done something bad like that, he'll come out and do something good and people will still cheer. It towards the end of his WWE contract, before he became a legend and everybody cheered for him when he came out as part of DX, it didn't matter. It didn't seem that what X-Pac did, he would get booed regardless. So, I don't know, man. I don't think it was just a storyline. I think people just actually just disliked him.
Yeah.
And just didn't want to see him anymore, which is a shame, because, to be honest, some of X-Pac's best matches are fucking good, man. One or two of them would definitely make a top 20.
An X-Pac highlight of mine was, I think it was WrestleMania 15, I think it was, and he was feuding with Shane McMahon, and that's when the Mean Street Posse guys got involved.
Yeah.
And there was fucking X-Pac big time and everything, man. And I was feeling that match, man. That's when that was the point when Triple H turned evil. He turned evil in the back. And
even
I was bet, because I was riding for X-Pac all the way. Because in that same time, Shane McMahon, why? I was not a fan of that kid at all. I hated Shane McMahon as well at that time. Because he had all the corporate ministry shit going on right there. And Shane McMahon, oh my God. Back then, I wanted to tomp him down. He was one of those guys, if I seen him on the street, I'd box him down. He was one of them people at the time, Shane McMahon was. And he was spoken with X-Pac. And, you know what I mean, I was hoping that X-Pac would kick him down all over the ring. And then Triple H come and teased and turned evil. I was bricks. Oh, you mean? Couldn't believe it. And then from then, it was like, fuck Triple H from that point. You know what I mean? So
Mike, I think you and Triple H need to visit Dr. Shelby, man, and just have a sit-down session and talk this out. Because you've got no love for this guy at all, man. Everything always reverts back to, yo, it's Triple H's fault. Yo, it's Triple H's fault.
Nah, man. The later years.
Owen Hart died. Triple H's fault.
Nah, the later years, you know what I mean, I've grown to forgive him for his sins. He went through the Hell in a Cell, lost, 20-0. That, from that point, I said, all right, you're all right now, Triple. Me and you are good. But yeah, that was a highlight of mine. X-Pac vs. Shane McMahon was a great match, man. It was WrestleMania 15. I was really into that match until Triple H came in and fucked it up.
When I first started watching WWE, I remember watching him as 1-2-3 kid. And even the match, I mean, I've got the Best of Raw up over there, what I'm looking at now. Mm. And his match with Bret Hart had restarted a couple of times, I'm sure it was, because he didn't feel it was legitimate. The referee restarted the match, and he took Bret to the limit, man. I've seen Bret really go the distance, but he was one of those matches where he really, really put Bret to the sword. And as a relative newcomer, and as he was like a jobber for quite a while, you know, he did pretty well to hang with such greats as the Hitman himself.
Yeah.
So for me, in my opinion, I feel he was underrated. He did get a lot of exposure in the WWE, but I don't think his legacy has lasted very well. And that's why I feel he's underrated.
Yo, you know what? That's well argued, man. Trust me. That's well argued. I mean, big up to X-Pac, man. You know what I mean? He appeared at Raw 1000, and, you know, he still got a pop still. There was no, like, booze towards him or anything. You know what I mean? He was all right then. Because I suppose it was a reunion, and everyone just loved the TDX again, like, one time. So that was cool to see, I suppose.
And to be fair, this dude did literally bust his ass for wrestling. There are people that bust their ass in the business. X-Pac actually bust his ass in the business. You're feeling me, so. So big ups to Sean Morton, man. He loves this shit.
I mean, once again, we spoke about this earlier with Shadow and Icy, man. You know what I mean? Bust his ass, right? Because he shouldn't be using them breeder moves anyway. You know what I mean? That's a female move, man. Shit. Yeah, I'm being sexist. So what? I mean, there's certain things that man's not supposed to do, and that's one of them, man.
Yeah, Rikishi's stink face is the next one as well.
He's do the bottom in people's face. But you know what? In a way, I can agree, but at the same time, I disagree because, you know what I mean, that stink face right there brought out some great moments, man. You know what I mean? Because he caught Stephanie with that shit, and he caught Vince McMahon with that shit, you know what I mean? And
Mike, if he was caught short and didn't wipe properly, just say one episode he just didn't wipe properly, you'd know that was a genuine stink face. You'd end up with pink eye. Fuck that shit, man. You know what? Talking about backsides leads me into my next star, another good link. Well done, Mike. You're on fire today.
He's on fire! Fire!
My second underrated star, is a guy called Darren Matthews. Some of you may know him as Steve Jones, or how about Stephen Regal, or even William Regal and friend of the STC and DJ Front. DJ Front, I see you. We're going to talk about William Regal. All right, oh, William Regal.
Regal. Yes.
William Regal wrestled the indie circuit in the UK and Europe before he was called up to the WCW under the name Stephen Regal in 1993. Originally, he came through as a face, if you can believe that. Regal as a face. Wow.
Man. Well, yes and no, because I know he did turn face in certain eras of time, so yeah.
But originally, he came through as a face, but later he would become a full-blown heel. He'd later win the WCW TV title four times and even form a tag team, get this, with fellow aristocrat Paul Levesque. Or Triple H, as we know him, for our younger listeners.
No,
I never knew he teamed up with Triple H.
But, you know, when you think about it, it makes sense. Hunter Hearst, obviously, because they had that, you know what I mean, they had that quality about them, didn't they? Because, I mean, back in the day, Hunter Hearst, he was that technical dude. He wasn't that fist and fire and brawler that we know him as now. He was proper technical back in the days, man.
Triple H used to curtsy and all sorts of shit, wear ruffled shirts and all sorts. Like,
yeah,
I remember, like, the guy used to bow in all sorts, man, when he came through.
Man. I mean, that's what that shit that Damien Sandow's on now, man.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Damien Sandow is the future Triple H. That'd be awesome. But
well, I know Triple T, I saw the picture, big up to Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News. Triple E, he's got a picture, posing with the all the next talent, and all posing with hammers. So that to me looked like he's looking for the next top heel or something to use the hammer after Triple H was on in it. That's what it looked like to me. But I'm gonna say this because I can. Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News is biased. Yes, said it. You know why? Because the boss man of Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News is not a fan of Triple T, and that's the truth. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm speaking to you, Jack. You know that he don't like Triple T. And that's why there's a caption there, right? There's a caption there saying, oh, Triple H is going to show them what he's going to do to their careers. Oh, man. He's going to bury their career. I was like, oh, no.
You know, it's times like this. You need Jamie Dapster to back his boy, man. Triple H, not even Triple T. See, you've got me saying it now as well.
Triple H. I've got the hammer right here, and I will use it. God damn it! No, man.
I need that as a text code.
He's biased, and he can take me to court for what's that? For libel laws and shit and
defamation of character.
But it's true. Look at it. That's supposed to be unbiased. You know what I mean? Talk about news. You know, news is supposed to be unbiased. And I see running Triple H and running the Rock and all sorts on there. It's brilliant, man. Anyway, enough of that shit. Back to Steven Regal.
So, yeah, so, where was I? He formed the tag team with fellow aristocrat Triple H, but this was later dropped when Triple H joined WWE. In 1998, WCW were pushing a rising star by the name of Goldberg. Some of you may have heard of him. Some of our younger listeners probably not.
They've heard of Ryback.
It goes Ryberg, Gilbert, Goldberg. Just go back a little bit, man. The evolution of Goldberg.
Kids, you must learn the history. Don't go to school and then come back to me and say history is boring. It's not. You know what I mean? History. I took history in GCSE, man, and I was a done at history. You know what I mean? It's a shame I wasn't black history, but I was a done at history. Therefore, you must learn the history and learn about your wrestlers then.
Well, Mike, that's what we're here for. We got PhDs in wrestling history. I've got a doctorate.
We have to reach out and teach one. That's why Jay Midas is here telling you about William Regal and why he is underrated. Continue.
In 1998, WCW were pushing rising star Goldberg, putting him in a match against Regal, in which Regal was being easy squash. But this didn't transpire like it should, as Regal made the match more competitive than it should have been. Although Regal lost to Goldberg, the WCW still fired him for this because he was too stiff and Goldberg was caught short on a lot of the moves, which Goldberg actually complained to Bischoff for. Although he was fired from WCW, he would later sign for the WWE. Regal's WWE career was stunted through an addiction to painkillers and an injury where he broke his leg or ankle. I think it was his ankle. After rehab, Regal had a brief stint back at WCW, but he had limited success before returning back to the WWE and winning the European Championship belt and becoming the commissioner to the Alliance, and this links us into the ass. The first honorary member of Vince's Kiss My Ass
Club.
He was there first. He's the first man to kiss Vince's ass. That is an honor in itself. That is an honor. It's an honour and a pleasure, sir. That's an honour and a pleasure. Not saying it's such a kid's man's ass, but it's Vince's ass. Lots of people have done it.
Oh, that shit is funny, man. Oh, gosh. I'll never forget that episode as long as I live. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be like one of William Regal's low points, but flipping hell, man.
It's a high point, man. To me, it's a high point. He was the first one there. It's like, you know, when somebody, like, graffitis a wall.
say, look, I was here first. And then, like, loads of people from the next. It's never going to be as good as the first one.
Oh,
he's the originator. He's the originator. William Regal is underrated because he kissed Vince McMahon's ass first.
That one blemish. He gave him tactic as well, man.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, man. Yo, me and my mom's watched that, man. Rewind. Jeez, man. And even shot in slow motion, his lips actually get in contact with Vince McKennedy's ass. My arm. Oh, I miss that. Oh,
the Vince stink face, man. Oh, brilliant.
No wonder a lot of people are hating this PG shit, because you don't see that shit no more, man. Yo, you got to continue.
Like you said, Mike, like you said at the start, man, sometimes it's not all about wrestling. Sometimes you have to have joke. And when the WWE used to have joke, they had joke. Nowadays, it's just shitty, crappy PG promos that don't get a laugh unless you're under 10. Back then, it was just toilet humour, and I miss that shit, man.
Trust me, man. Literally. You know what I mean? Shit, you can talk about the time. I mean, it happened on Raw as well, so that counts as a Raw moment, but, oh, man. Yo, continue, man.
In 2002, Regal feuded with Edge and became the IC champion at Royal Rumble. He later lost this to RVD, but he won the European belt against DDP, only to lose it to Spike Dudley. He won it again 2 weeks later to make him the four-time European champion. After that, he became the three-time hardcore champion. He was a tag champion four times and 2008 King of the Ring. He's currently working for the WWE with the NXT. He remains a wrestling superstar with the company. He's also the pro to rookie Skip Sheffield, again, tying us into earlier, who's now He trained Daniel Bryan. He trained Samoan Joe. He trained Chris Hero. And he trained my hero, CM Punk. And he's also, was also the first man to ever make Punk tap. He's a true English gent with brass knuckles to boot. So all I'm saying is four words. Pip, pip, old boy.
Yo. Really, Regal. You know what I mean? I love that dude, man. You know what I mean? And if he's watching, you know what I mean? I'm making it known, man. You used to give me joke. I mean, we're speaking English, but it's not the Queen Mother's language. You see what I'm saying?
Speak for yourself, old boy.
My English has Jamaican slang mixed into it and maybe a bit of American slang at the same time. But William Regal has it, the Queen's Mother's language, perfected. And certain things he used to say crack me up to the max. Yeah, he used to call certain people a 50 pence tart and shit like that, man. I was like, cry. I was a cry, man. One of my high points of William Regal was that, just like John Morrison, he was on the brink of becoming the WWF champion back in Attitude Era. Why?
Yeah.
Because there was a period where William Regal was riding with the big boys. He was riding with Triple, Rikishi, Kurt Angle, Undertaker, Austin, The Rock, the main guys. He was caught up in the mix, you know, with those guys. You know what I mean? And at one point, I thought, they're looking to push it to make it there, man. It just didn't quite happen. It's a real shame, man. I think it happened around 99, around them times, around 98, 99. No, not 98, around 99, 2000 times, around them times. You know what I mean? He was rolling around with those sort of people, man.
When the brands all sort of split, when you had Raw, SmackDown and ECW, he became like a major player. Regal did, to be honest, especially if it was the ECW side, and he was like commissioner and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he was getting a really big push, man, and even to the point where he started winning stuff. I mean, I'm sure he beat Edge for the IC with brass knuckles. Because he started getting he was like an old school Wade Barrett. I think that's what they wanted to make Wade Barrett. You know, when they were shooting like the vinaigrettes for him, saying he'd come back as a brawler and that.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to make Wade Barrett Regal 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, like CM Punk's like Stone Cold 2.0. I think that's what they were trying to do with that, but it sort of hasn't panned out that way, really, kind of.
Oh, man. That was one of my favourite William Regal moves right there, you know. You know what I mean? He called it the power of the punch. And he's going to put the brass knuckles on, clap them down, and put his brass knuckles back in his brief. And then you have people, like, interviewing him backstage. And really, really good to say shit like, oh, no, it was real skills, my lad. You see, with this here, the power of the punch. When you use it, oh, get it! And the joke is, he used fast knuckles.
You know what? The thing is with Regal, all right, they gave him that angle where he was using brass knuckles, but the guy could legitimately wrestle, man. He was actually really good technically.
Yeah.
I know he had some poor gimmicks, man. He had that real man's man wood chopping gimmick, I remember.
Yeah.
That might have been 98. And they teamed him up with Tajiri, and that was jokes, man. When Tajiri was like his understudy type thing. He was trying to make him a gentleman and stuff. It was bordering racist, but it was still funny.
Yeah, it was funny, man. But you know what? That brings me to another highlight of mine with William Regal. He was a commissioner, and he was actually a face, and Tajiri was riding with him as well.
Yeah.
And what happened was, oh, this one's funny, man. 2001, he had the invasion coming through, and Undertaker and Kane, they teamed up, and they was meant to team up with Tajiri as well, right? And I can't remember who their opponents were. I can't remember who they were. I think it was DDP, Canyon, and somebody else. It was something like that. Anyway, William Regal said to Undertaker and Kane, he said something like this. He goes, "Don't worry. If they knock you down, all they have to do is rise up and then step by the neck and choke slam." And the Undertaker was looking at William Regal funny, right? And Tajiri was doing like the motions. He was pretending to like rise up and grabbing people by the neck and choke them. Oh, I was in stitches, man. I was on the floor. But the Undertaker and Kane was looking at the boss and just have to say, "You lot are not even right in the head."
I mean, this is the thing about William Regal. He was actually a really good, funny character, man.
He's one of the best, man. When it comes to that,
people sleep on him.
When it comes to that, his mic skills kill me. I want to pick up DJ Front again. You know why? Because when he interviewed William Regal for the Smack Talk Center, right, it was like, I do not know how the hell DJ Front could not hold the laughter in. If I was interviewing William Regal and he was speaking like that, I'd be dying to laugh. I'm sorry. Because I know that was a character in the WF using the full English.
Well, that's the thing, man. When I heard William Regal, because there's a video of it, when you hear William Regal, his accent's actually broad Lancashire from where I'm living now.
Yeah.
Although he's built from Blackpool, England. He was born in Tonsil.
Yeah, that is correct.
Which is Wolverhampton, which is the Midlands. But he has a very strong northern accent. And then he goes on TV, and he's spoken very, very well. He's very eloquent. He rolls his R's.
I find that shit funny as hell. I find it funny as hell. I loved it. He was one of the first men that ever did it as well. That he'd come to the ring, he'd wipe his feet before he went into the ring.
Yeah, that's funny.
And you know what? And he had the music as well. The proper politics music that went with it. That shit is funny.
Taking me till I'm 28 to actually appreciate how good William Regal is. When he first came in, I never ever took any notice of him. Leading up to this, I saw some standout moments, and it was mainly because I was looking at Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
But William Regal was like in loads of Chris Jericho's best moments. So I did some research on Regal and reminded myself, just as a top up, and the storyline with Y2J, like pissing in his tea. When he was commissioner. It was genius. And their match at WrestleMania 17 between Y2J and, you know, was actually, technically, a really, really good match.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best matches. So, like, big ups to William Regal or Darren Matthews, as his real name. Personally, I think he's probably the most underrated on this list, in my opinion.
William Regal's a funny dude, man. Trust me, the man's funny. Because he's come up with words that I use today, like besmirched. He come on that way, all the ditches. Oh, like, oh shit!
When a wrestler can bump your vocabulary, you know he's doing it right, mate.
Exactly. Him and Vincent Kennedy and most recently Damian Sandow. That man cracks me up every time he comes on.
Mike's got an English degree from Vince Sandow.
It's true, man. Yo,
no chance. You 50p toss, ignoramus. Damn it.
Now, Vincent Kennedy can call me some big words when he's ready, and they're just funny as hell. Trust me. Yo, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time left. so I'm going to have to keep it moving along now.
Okay, well, we haven't got a tedious link into this one, but let me say, I picked this character on two merits, right? One, because I had to pick a newer star at the era, and Kofi Kingston's already gone, so I couldn't use Kofi. I didn't want to go with my other picks, like Cesaro and stuff like that, because I think they're still carving their niche, and the second one is...
Well, you know what? Cesaro was mentioned earlier by Marion Toda. He believes he's underrated and all that. So we brought that down. But you can continue anyway. And that's for Kofi. Well, I think it's safe to say that he's definitely underrated now, because that's been spoken upon like three times already. So yeah, carry on.
And the second one is because I know that your host, Michael, the infamous informer, Grant, Mike P. hates this dude, so I decided to be my heel self and pick.
Wait a minute. But I done hated Triple H. I done hated CM Punk at one point. I done hated Randy Orton at one point. And them guys, they're not underrated. So, and I know you got cooked up back there. Oh, Dolph Ziggler become the champion, so it ain't him. And Wade Barrett, it can't be him. You know what I mean? It can't be Wade Barrett. I spoke on him earlier as well, so. Nah, man.
Mike, I've got three words to give you a clue to who this last person is. You ready for it?
All right, go ahead, because I can't think right now.
Woo, woo, woo!
What the?
You know it, broski!
Motherfucker!
The one and only Zack Ryder, the Hollywood story.
He's overrated, man. You know what I mean? You know what, really and truly?
This guy should be champion.
That guy ain't shit.
Champion. This guy deserves to break the streak. No, I'm only playing, man. I'm only playing. I don't care. I'm a heel. I don't apologize.
He's getting broke, but. No.
Listen, man.
You know what I mean? I'd rather Gilbert or the Blue Meanie come break the streak than that motherfucker right there. You know what I mean?
Let me drop some knowledge about Zack Ryder for you. All right. He's a product of the WWE developmental. Matthew Cardona, or Zack Ryder as we know him today, he started wrestling in 2004. He got signed to 2006 to the WWE, so he got there pretty quick. Originally, he turned up with Kurt Hawkins, again, which I thought was an underrated wrestler, under the name of Brian Majors. He won the DSW Tag Team Belt at Deep South Wrestling, previously defeating, my previous pick, William Regal's Blue Bloods Tag Team. He later moved on to the OHW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, and won tag gold there as well. 2007, Ryder and Hawkins debuted for the ECW brand, but only won one match before being drafted to SmackDown. Here, they won the right to the championship tag match, but for some reason, the WWE put this on the back burner. It never happened. Both wrestlers then aligned themselves with Edge, who at the time was a major heel in the WWE. This was the first time that Ryder ever went heel. He gained major exposure by interfering on Edge's behalf in matches at Armageddon and even against The Undertaker.
Yeah.
In 2008, at the Great American Bash, the duo won the championship gold and became tag champions after a fatal four-way match.
Hang on, don't talk about Zack Ryder.
Yeah. In a fatal four-way. And it made them the youngest tag champs ever in WWE. I thought that was the hardest, but they soon lost the titles and the tag belt, and the tag team was disbanded, and Ryder went back to the ECW brand and even retired Tommy Dreamer in a loser leaves match.
Oh shit! He did.
So, apparently he retired Tommy Dreamer. I mean, this guy's a legend.
What?
Zack Ryder retired his ass. So before you hate on the kid, Jordy knowledge.
Now here's me ready to cuss you and say, oh, you only picked Zack Ryder because CM Punk mentioned it out of his mouth after he dropped the pipe bomb and everyone started jumping on Zack Ryder dick.
Nah, man, I'm backing up my facts with stats, man.
Holy shit. You know all them stats right there? I forgot it even happened, apart from the point where Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder, when they first appeared, defending Edge, and then they became Edgeheads. And there was the Edge's attire and all that, and it looked coordinated and it looked good. You know what I mean? That was the first time I saw them.
I'm sure in the American Bash, didn't they keep like pulling
Edge out and then going in and pretending to be Edge. And then
Edge
out and Edge would roll back in.
Yeah, all that happened as well. So they got butt ass for Edge.
Yeah, pretty much. After that, he also had a shot at the championship against the ECW championship against Christian, which he lost. When the ECW brand dissolved, Ryder went to Raw brand in early 2011. So this guy was started wrestling in 2004. In 2011, he made his way to Raw, which is a pretty fast like uprising for such a young wrestler, to be honest. He had a chance to capture the US title, only to lose in 11 seconds to Sheamus, this making it the second shortest title match in history.
Oh, dear.
It was only because Sheamus needed, they invoked that 30-day rule. Sheamus needed to beat somebody, so they just penciled him in and made him beat him in 11 seconds.
Now the 30-day rule doesn't exist now.
It doesn't now, but kids, it did then. He then aligned himself with Cena in some high-profile segments and even main evented and beat Mark Henry to receive a title shot at TLC for the US Championship against Flavor of the Month, Dolph Ziggler, which Ryder won, making this the first title he'd owned as a singles competitor. At the time, he was also SmackDown's assistant GM, and he left that position due to his title commitments. Ryder would then go into 2012, which was a good year for Mike Grant, but it was a bad year for Zack Ryder, because in January, Royal Rumble.
That's right, because my hero, my man, is Kane! He chokes on that motherfucker all over that ring, man.
Destroyed him.
For being a bitch. That's right. You know what I mean? Eve didn't want him. And Eve tried to tell him, you know, it's either you get chokes on by Kane through the stage, or I kick you in the dick. Which one's it going to be? And he was still hard ears. So if you don't hear, you must feel. And what's that? Eve kicking her in the dick. Yes. Yes.
And then he got chokeslam, so he was fucked either way, to be honest.
Yes. And then what him do? I'll tell you what him do. He made a stupid-ass, bullshit-ass song called Host.
Wait. Now you're skipping ahead, man. I've got this written down here, Mike. Oh, relax. No. Set time. Let me finish this off. And then you can cuss out Hosty, which I thought should have been to number one. But that's
your message.
Don't make me sing a few bars, Mike.
Sing a few bars. You remember, I've got the button that press stop, you know. Right.
Ryder would go into 2012 as an established name and have a high-profile feud with Kane, with help from Cena and Eve in storylines that would make Kane seem like a dominant force, and Cena would become the face and the protector of the company once again. After this, Ryder closed out a quiet 2012 and even took to Twitter to acknowledge that it actually sucked. Throughout Ryder's career, he's devised his own YouTube web series called Z True Long Island Story in February 2011. This has started 12 million views to date.
Whack. So you 12 million views.
12 million views? It's a mass, man. So 12 million people can't be wrong. 12 million people can't.
No. 12 million people are wrong. You know why? Because STC, Smack Talk Center, we do shows, I mean, on YouTube, 10 million times better than that. Is that right or rubbish? So there's 12 million retards in the world. Yeah.
Zack Ryder even created and defended an internet title, which was unsanctioned by the WWE, but still defended at house shows and pre-shows. He then moved his channel to the WWE Network, but after 100 shows, Ryder actually tired of the edits by the WWE. He tired of the edits by the WWE that they were making to the finished show, so he disbanded the show after 100 episodes and released Hosky, which sold over 100,000 units on iTunes. Ryder, unbelievable. Ryder is now currently jobbing in the WWE, which is a crime, is an absolute travesty, to use a word by Regal, is an absolute travesty, in my opinion.
Well, you know why he's jobbing? It's because of that Hosky tune. Disrespecting women. Now, before you even... I've got a hammer in my hand right now. Right? Before you even counter and say, oh, I like hip-hop tunes, degrading.
No.
And going on and then diss women and so on, and tell them to shake their ass and all of that. This guy, Zack Ryder, He brought out the tune Hosky because he's targeting a particular girl. It's an actual diss record at Eve Marie Torres. You know what I mean? Eve Marie Torres, I still love you, girl. You know what I mean? This girl does Gracie mixed martial arts. Gracie, you know, one of the best mixed martial arts jiu-jitsu men that ever did it in the octagon and all that and outside the octagon, right? This girl can whoop somebody's ass in a heartbeat. She can whoop my ass, she can whoop your ass, she can whoop Jan Kumar's ass, she can whoop anybody's ass, right? She could probably whoop Stone Cold Steve Austin's ass if she tried. Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, you know!
Mike, I don't care if she fucking does Bruce Lee Jiu-Jitsu or upside down fucking wiring a plug. Sometimes a hosky is a hosky.
No.
If you're a hoe, you're a hoe. There are hoes out there. Ludacris said it. She's a hoe.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
I know that.
A hoe.
No, Eve is not a hoe, man. It's wrong.
The reason there are so.
You saw what happened. No, listen, all I'm saying is, John Cena got in that tongue, and he held her fight, and he tugged on her weave, you know what I mean? And it's true, because The Rock said it, right? That you can't, she's not a hostie, John Cena got in there, and he was married already, and it led to his
fight.
It's not his fault, that's John Cena's fault, he should have responsibility. You know what I mean? Even if he tried to make her advance to John Cena, John Cena said, No. I'm married. I'm happily married. You know what I mean? I'm the face of the company. If I do this, you know what I mean? It will look bad. You know what I mean? You look bad on the kids. I'll be telling the kids that it's all right to cheat on your wife. No, I can't do it. But no, John Cena got in that tongue. You know what I mean? Whose fault is it? Eve or John Cena's? Well, the crack says it's John Cena's.
Mike, look, man, it works two ways. This it's called WWE knowledge, right? Zack Ryder calls these type of women hoskies. Teddy Long calls these type of men players. Right? So John Cena is one of Teddy's players, and Eve is one of Ryder's hoskies. That's
no, what right? It's a woman's word. Remember, is woman give first?
She's not Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys? I bet you, yeah, Eve has got Alicia Keys CD in her yard. Earth, karma, no one, you know what I mean?
Mike, I've got a Marilyn Manson CD in my yard, but it doesn't mean I worship the devil. Just because she's got an Alicia Keys CD in her yard doesn't mean she's perfect. That she's a Nubian queen. So it might be just dirt. She might be one of those that takes it up the batty and sucks the dick afterwards.
That's true. I mean, I've got how much Wu-Tang albums of opinions up in my yard. That don't mean I actually swing swords on the streets. You know what I mean? But no, he's not a hosky. Remember now, he was born out of a woman pum pum. Right? You came out of a woman pum pum. And you should be grateful for the gift of life. You know what I mean? If you don't believe in God, you should be at least grateful for your mom who gave birth to you, right?
Well, that's it. I am grateful, but that's not even to say that my mom wasn't a hoe back in the day.
I'm not saying she was, right?
And this is not me being heelish and proper going for it. Sorry, Mom. But all I'm saying is... See what you made me do? All I'm saying is there are women out there that give up the goods way too easy, man, and she might be one of them. And that song, even if she's not one of them, that song is dedicated to all the skanky women, or how I like to call them, my ex-girlfriends, that give up the pussy after a night out of getting drunk to a random. So I'm good with that, man. I'm good with that. Send for the hoskies. Hashtag send for hoskies.
Well, I don't like how it was directed at Eve Torres, because if it wasn't for Eve, that hosky term would not have come into manifestation. It would never have manifested in the first place. It's disrespect. Yeah, I can see what you say with sluts, because they are out there. And you know what I mean? And we've had our own runnings in the past with Nazi gear like that. But
Yes.
But nah, man, that no. That, yes. As far as I'm concerned, we're stopping at these horrors. And for those people who bought that shit, I'll say it before I say it again, you are retarded. Go on your bed. Before you go on your bed, wash yourself and wash under your arm. And, no, man. And wash your genitals as well, man. You're nasty. You're disgusting.
Man. Otherwise, no hoskies will be interested in you.
No, man. On the real, with all that said, Zack Ryder's one of them dudes that I never paid attention to. I never really paid attention to. Like, he was there with the Edge team. And, I acknowledged him then. Then after that, I never really took any notice of him until, obviously, everyone started riding his dick after CM Punk mentioned his name with the woo-woo-woo and all that. I hated that gimmick. I hated that shit. Right? It might be one of Zack Ryder's high points, but I hated that shit personally. So...
He did get a Slammy Award, I think it was 2011, for Most Up-and-Coming or Rising Star. So he put a lot of work in to get that gimmick over. You see it now in TNA. they've got some, like, Jersey Boys. Is it Robbie E? And stuff like that. They do the Zack Ryder gimmick, but their main players over there. And I'm not sure if Zack had it first.
Gee.
But, you know what I mean? It's all to do with that Jersey Shore. It's sort of what's hot at the time. Jersey Shore was one at the time, so he went with that gimmick.
Ain't that shit that Snooki's in or something?
Yeah. But the person that Ryder plays, that is a piss take, a parody of the people that are actually on the show, because that's what they're like. Fake tan, all these muscles, woo woo woo, bruv. Woo. You know, they're all dickheads on it, to be honest.
So basically, in a sense, you're calling Zack Ryder a dickhead.
No, because what he's done is he's took something hot and he made it current in the WWE, and because Jersey Shore's not current anymore and people diss it and they don't like it, I think his gimmick is played out now. So what he needs to do is he needs to come up with a new gimmick, reinvent himself again.
Well, he better hurry up before we get Future Endeavor, because if it was up to Owen, Future Endeavor is bomber class already.
The thing is, though, Mike, he's actually mad talented, man. The guy is actually quite good. I mean, his finishing move, the Rough Rider, it's not an easy one to pull off. It's not like some, like,
well,
Wade Barrett's elbow to the face, you know. It's actually,
you know what?
Well,
you know what? I can actually agree with you there, because I think I even admitted that I thought his super move, the Rough Rider, was actually quite good. Unfortunately, it's a disrespect to DMX, it's disrespect to Eve, it's disrespect to Dragon, it's disrespect to the Lux, it's disrespect to Swiss Beats. You can't call it a Rough Rider!
Yo, fuck Dragon, he only ever made one decent tune.
In my opinion.
And that was Fireman or Pushman, one of them.
Anyway, enough of all that shit. I want to big up the NVIDIA Network crew. You know what I mean? As always, we're letting us have an opportunity to call upon here and talk shit as much as we want and get away with it. You know, that's a man called Mike Knox, KME, Chad Rivera and Spotface. You know what I mean? You man, keep doing what you do, man. Big up yourselves. You know what I mean? You know, y'all know where to find us. You know what I mean? Smack Talk Centre on Facebook. www.smacktalkcentre, that is. @ Smack Talk Centre on Twitter. You know what I mean? Powerbomb Pro Wrestling News on Facebook. @ Powerbomb PWN on Twitter. Diva Heavens also on Facebook as well. There isn't a Twitter page for that yet, but you know what I mean? Slow and steady wins the race, man. Yo, that's how it goes, man. I want to big up my panel, Marion Tolder. I want to big up the man called Shaddai, Icy Fresh, and of course, Jay Midas for coming through on the show this week, man. You're too bad.
I hope I haven't offended too many of you. Motherfucker.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think something goes like this week, man. Because, why? When you mentioned that rider, I have to go off on him, man.
I tried this week, alright. This is the least heelish I've been in about 4 or 5 weeks, man.
Let's be fair.
Because the next show is going to be a curse.
I mean, it's like, yo, CM Punk's not in effect and everything now. We don't know how long he's going to be, you know, not in effect for, so, you know, it's one of them things, man. Anyway, enough of that shit. We must go now. For me, hungry. I'm off on food. Yo.
Thanks for having me, man.
You know what I mean? Big up yourselves, man. STC.